Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, and thanks once again for joining us in Mindful Living in the Adirondack Alps. This is Kathy Hohmeyer once again coming to you from the Lake Clear Lodge and Retreat. And, we just got off a wonderful yoga retreat here and wedding, and it was an awesome weekend. And I'm here with Debbie Havis again. We spoke last week on her books. She has written two wonderful books all about nature and really wholeness and wellness. Her first book is My Journey to Wholeness, and that's the show that we did last week or a week before. But you can find that show. It's called My Journey to Wholeness. And today we're going to talk about her second book, A Gentle Path of Healing. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Kathy.
So, back again, and I was telling Debbie that our we had a yoga retreat this weekend, and I told everybody about her books, and somebody bought one of her books and said it was speaking to her. So that's really awesome. As we were talking, it's really awesome as when you create something like that, that it speaks to somebody and they get benefit out of it. So I was just sharing that with her before we came on. Yeah. So last time we talked about My Journey to Wholeness. So I think what we should do, Debbie, is maybe you can give a little synopsis of that, and then we'll go into the second book. It's all about healing with nature. The Lake Clear Lodge and Retreat offers different retreats, even if it's just coming for a getaway. But her books really describe, I think, what you can feel when you can get out in nature, when you kind of just unplug for a few moments, whether it's a few moments or for a weekend or a week, and really just let nature, nature speak to you. So My Journey to Wholeness by Debbie Havis. Tell us what that's about.
Okay, in My Journey to Wholeness, my quest was to answer some questions for myself. I had recently been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at the times I was writing. And the questions I asked me was, why me? Why this? Why now? And I think of how often we ask ourselves those very questions when something happens in our life. So I sought to answer them by digging into my past. And in this book, it's a memoir of part of my life. And I did just that. I dug into my childhood traumas, and I sought to relive them, crying through them, remembering the details, writing the details down. And I experienced many emotional healings from these traumas. And I realized that usually they occurred when I was in nature. I might be sitting by the edge of a stream, or I might be perched upon a rock in the middle of the woods somewhere. And I would feel these healings occur as I was thinking about my traumas and writing about them. So that is a memoir. That's a story. And I am the main character in the story. But nature is always there. She's always there with me as I go through that. So that was book one. Well, when I finished book one, it was like, oh, but there's so much more I have to say to people. There are so many things they could do to partake of nature's healing energies that I feel all around me. So in book two, my question became, what is there about nature that I find so profoundly healing? And that book is entitled A Gentle Path of Healing. Okay, so that's what my quest was in that one.
Yeah, and I love the subtitle. It's Encountering Nature's Wisdom and Curative Energies. And I said if I was ever going commission somebody to write a book to tell people why they should come here and stay, it would be this one.
Perfect title, yes, I agree.
Yeah.
So in this book, instead of it being a story from cover to cover, this one is a number of essays I wrote. I looked at nature and I said, what is it about it that I love? What is it? And I came up with certain headings like solitude and quiet tranquility, beauty, and of course the sounds of nature. And then of course the wind, the breath of nature, and the scents, the fragrances of the wildflowers. I think of milkweed is so strong, and all the healing aspects of those. For instance, with beauty, maybe I think I'll read a little bit of prose right now, right from the book, to give you a little taste. Okay, and this is it. I stand under a sugar maple tree in the fall and watch the orange and yellow leaves drifting down around me. I inhale the scent that identifies the season. Standing there, I begin to ponder, what is beauty? Why are our spirits so uplifted? A great factor in healing when we are in the presence of beauty. Is beauty found in a certain mix of colors and hues we see as we sit at the edge of a lake, watching the sky that's painted with a spectacular sunset? Or is it in the design or pattern the colors make as the sun reflects off the clouds? Do we sense beauty in the feel or texture of a velvety, soft green blanket of moss? Or find it as the scent of a fragrant flower we stoop to smell while wandering through a garden? Is it the intricacies of the sparrow's nest, with each blade of dried grass intertwined with another? Or is it the rhythmic movement of the waves as they lap at the shore of the lake? Is it the sparkle of a spider's web, glistening with dew in the dawn of a new day? Or is it the melodic voice of a rose-breasted grosbeak calling from its perch in a nearby birch tree? Is it the feeling we get when we witness something beautiful? Is it a place of awe, a rainbow after a summertime shower, a full moon rising on a crisp and cold fall evening? The beauty of nature surrounds me at all times. I see it, I feel it, I hear it, I smell it, I touch it. Nature's beauty engulfs me, envelops me, enfolds me in its exquisite presence, and all my worries dissipate, fading outward like ripples on the water. And then a short poem. Colors aglow, the setting sun hovers, kissing the earth goodnight, pulling a blanket over the world. Beauty.
Very nice. Yeah, and it's awesome. And I was looking, you know, we were talking before, I was looking through, you know, even just the table of contents. Like you said, your first book was more of a memoir on how you went through the journey, and this is really a continuation on how nature, just like almost giving nature credit, you know, for things that you found in it and kind of describing it, including the, you know, the grounding qualities of the earth and, yeah, just all that we find kind of living in a place like this, because we live, for folks who don't know, we live in the Adirondack Mountains, and it's called the Healing Woods. The whole area was developed as a healing center. When tuberculosis came along, people usually actually come and summer in the woods when they would literally live outside. Some would do live in hotels and sanatoriums, but those who were able were literally out in the woods. And you kind of inadvertently kind of followed that pattern and did it for, you know, for yourself, and just pondered and let nature kind of let those energies kind of in.
Yes, I was amazed by certain things. I started thinking about nature as far as, you know, what do I love about it? Well, I've always just been amazed at bird song, and anyone who's walked in the woods hears birds singing. But there's chatters, there's twitters, you know, there's chirps. Some birds beep, some birds honk. Whatever they do, some have a beautiful melody they sing, but it all blends perfectly. It's like there's no clashing of sounds.
Yeah,
unless there's, you know, an emergency, and then the blue jay really lets go. But otherwise, it's just a beautiful blend. And how can that be? Why do I feel so good walking in the woods like that with the bird song? And so with this book and each of these topics, shall we say, I did a little research myself into the why. What is it? I was very curious. And I happened upon the principle of entrainment, which I was not aware of before. And so with entrainment, it's like we're walking and we hear one tone, maybe one bird with our left ear. We hear another bird calling off to our right, a totally different song. But our brain hears the difference between those two. And if that difference is in the alpha brain wave range of 10 hertz, we experience relaxation. And it's like, wow, that's really happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm amazed. I am just amazed at things like that. But I did more of that, you know, in this book, finding out the why.
Yeah.
Yes.
Any other examples that you can think of off the top of your head? Not to put you on the spot, but I know there's – I mean, I find it fascinating. I love the why. I know that it does, and I live here, and I chose to come back here from a city, and I know that does, and I do a lot of my own research into the human blueprint and the energetics of kind of the human blueprint and frequencies and sound. So the research into nature just totally fascinates me as well. So,
I think of the Chinese were, of course, and we are now also into the whole principle of qi, and qi being this very essential energy that flows through everything alive in the universe. It encompasses all of that. And it was like, so this is very important in healing, to keep the chi flowing, not getting blocked or stuck or stagnant. So that led me into using feng shui. And in feng shui, I started with my home. And it involves a practice of placement and color and where you use the colors. So I looked at my living room, and I rearranged my furniture, allowing the chi to flow through more. And then I started placing colors. They use what's called a bagua, which is like a map of where certain colors are most healthily placed in a room. So I did that. And if I was to walk into the room and I should have red on the far wall across from me, then it doesn't mean I paint my wall red. It means I put a red scarf. I decorate the shelf with a red scarf there. So I see red when I walk in. And I was amazed at how beneficial I felt. I felt more relaxed and happier, and my room had more of a cozy feeling to me. So I highly recommend feng shui. You can certainly use it, too, in your landscape, in your gardens. There's lots to be learned about feng shui, many, many books and good resources out there, many.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have a lot of fun if you get into trying to use that and then notice the benefit. It really is great.
Yeah, that's one that you hear all sorts of kind of new age, new types of things. But feng shui, of course, you know, a lot of the ancient information been there for a long time, of course. But that I haven't heard so much about lately in my circles anyway, but it's very valid and very interesting to look at it in that respect. I remember years ago I had somebody come on the property and take a look at the property in terms of feng shui and remembered the different recommendations that he made in terms of, he didn't do a large analysis, but he was just saying in general, like, you know, walking into the lobby or, you know, just combining spaces that he didn't feel, you know, went as good as they could go. So it's certainly interesting and easy to find information on in terms of a very simple thing to do, just to do in your home, even
yes.
if you're not out in nature, you know, all the time anyway.
Right.
So.
Using those energies that are always flowing, we're just not aware of them and how to benefit
mm-hmm.
from them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess something else, I think we've all looked at a full moon and gone, oh, that moon is beautiful. You know, look at the color of it. Look at whatever. But I never really got into why I'm drawn to the moon. And I've watched many a full moon or quarter moon or half moon at night, and I just felt so bonded with it. But I didn't know why. So again, another question, why the moon? Well, reading more about the cycles of the moon, I came to realize, and I had noticed this part, around a full moon, I cannot sleep, put it that way. I get 2 or 3 hours. You know, it's like clockwork. That's all I'm going to get. It keeps me awake. So there's a lot of energy that I experience through a full moon. And reading about full moons, it's also when we are the most creative because of the energies. And I realize that, whoa, actually, my writing comes so easily around a full moon. The words just flow onto the paper from whatever I'm trying to express. So that was very, very poignant for me. And a new moon, contrarily, instead of waxing, now the moon is waning. And it's more of a time, certainly not of creating, I find. The new moon is not a time that I can create. I don't want to. I could care less about it. It's really interesting
mm-hmm.
to become aware
mm-hmm.
of this within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But new moon's more of a time to relax and to become more meditative and take time for yourself. Try to simplify your schedule. Make simpler meals. Just cut back. And so living by the cycles of the moon, because those are the energies that are present coming through to us, too, is a very interesting experience. Very gratifying, yes. Very balancing,
mm-hmm. yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, and living with the, like you said, being aware of the cycles, we don't have to feel as bad or, oh my gosh, I don't have the energy for this. You know, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. And we feel
right.
guilty because we can't do it, or we think, oh my gosh, I've got to get this done. And sometimes we do have to get something done, but we can give ourselves a little break and go, this is the cycle I'm supposed to be in. I don't need to have, you know, I don't have to, this shouldn't be flowing out right now. Or, you know, I know in different cycles, like you said, of the moon, this might be the time where I really want to work intensely on my book. And other times,
yeah.
a more reflective stand instead of really forcing it out and give ourselves
yes.
a little break on that nature knows what it's doing, you know, much more than we do sometimes.
We do, that's true.
We find a lost connection. Yeah. Yeah,
and
I know my husband
true.
Does not sleep during a full moon, and we finally realize, oh, it's a full
okay.
moon tonight, he's not going to sleep. So, yeah, right? This is crazy.
Some people are
yeah.
more sensitive to those energies, you know, than other people
mm-hmm.
are. Yeah, very true. Mm-hmm. I think we've all been in relationships. Serious ones at times, maybe, relationships that ended, whatever. I think it was Gary Chapman studied the five love languages. That was new to me. And it made me reflect a lot on different relationships in my life so that people show love. He recognized five ways, verbally with words, doing acts of service without being asked, you know, just get up and wash the dishes. physically, of course, the hugging, holding, and sexual love. Another one was spending quality time with the person. Quality time. And then finally, it was receiving gifts or giving gifts. And to stop and think, which are the ways that you prefer to show love to someone? Usually there's a couple of them that you usually do. And then as far as receiving love from someone, how do you prefer them to show you love? And sometimes they're not the same, or sometimes we think, well, that person could care less about me. And really, they think a lot of you. They really do care. but they're not showing you love in the way you need to have love shown to you. Mm-hmm. And that possibly could be from childhood, too. You know, how that all gets established, I don't know. But I did a lot of reflection with that, a lot of reflection. And so I found this writing, this manuscript, was I learned so much, and it really deepened my connection with nature that I thought was pretty deep to begin with. Mm-hmm. But there's more of an understanding now, more of a unifying feeling with nature that I have now. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. So is that, I know we talked with the other book on the different surprises that came up that, you know, unexpected. Were those some of the unexpected things that came up, or were there different ones?
No, I'd say those were some of the ones that came up, yes.
Yeah.
The bird song, mm-hmm. the love languages, the entrainment, the moon cycles. I mean, things we've noticed. We notice the moon mm-hmm. changing, but do we realize what's really happening and available to us to use in the universe? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a wonderful book when I started, because I've studied a lot about food and everything from diets to traditional foods and preparations of foods and all that sort of thing. And there's a wonderful book called Full Moon Feast that goes right along with the moon, kind of the moon cycles and what foods are developed during that cycle, what foods you to eat during that particular cycle, what ones come, you know, during the harvest of those cycles. And so it's real interesting, you know, there's the milk moon, the blood moon, you know, all those different things in terms of food as well. So that was really interesting that, you know, basically the cycle of nature, but in terms of really anything that you, you know, healing, there's all of those, even, you know, foods and, you know, different natural cycles that we, you know, a lot of us, like you said, a lot of us are aware of parts maybe or think we're aware of some. But, the awareness of them can just really deepen even your healing or your connection. And things come out that you really don't expect, or you learn things that you never expect to learn.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, I was looking through, like I said, I always think that I'm pretty attuned to nature until you learn something new every day. I mean, all of it. And just coming here, and I think, like, even the past weekend, some folks, you know, decided to come for a yoga retreat, and they were just here. They are newbies to yoga. They just decided to come. They really didn't know what to expect, and they were just awed by being out in nature with the sounds, with the, when they came thinking that they were just going to, you know, do yoga, and they encompassed and, felt so much more than they thought they were going to being in a place because they could go outside in nature and even do yoga in nature. So I think they learned a lot. And like I said, one of the folks your book really spoke to them, and she went home with one. So.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So anything else in terms of, I probably have just a few more minutes, anything else that strikes you that you'd like to share with folks? We should probably, before it gets too far near the end, I'm with Debbie Havis, and she's talking about her two current books, My Journey to Wholeness, which is Nature and a Healing Presence That Restored Her, and the second book, A Gentle Path of Healing, Encountering Nature's Wisdom and Curative Energy. So we're talking about the first book we did a radio show with, so you could find that one under that title. And we'll put the link under this one as well so they can be linked together. And so one is basically your journey, right? And the second one is more about the healing and restorative processes that you discovered. Right? Is that the way?
Yes. That's wonderful. Yes, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Well,
okay.
I do have a poem I would like
to
read to everybody. And, well, I'm just going to start it. Do you have the time today? Do you have the time to be silent and time to sit? Or do you have work that you cannot quit? Do you have the time today? Do you have the time? Time to be tranquil and time to just be? Or do you have worries you can't even see? Do you have the time today? Do you have the time? Time to be in solitude and time to be at peace? Or do you have stresses beyond belief? Do you have the time today? Do you have the time? Time to walk? Time to be in the now? Time to choose nature to show you how? I think we all need to make the time. Even myself, I find I get very involved in things, and I schedule this and that, and I have to do this, and I have to call them, and all of these things. And I tend at times to forget to take the time to be in nature, just to be there, just to be.
Yeah, and I think that's a great way to conclude talking about your books, because it doesn't really take all that much time either to just kind of quiet down for a few moments, and it is so hard for everybody, and we're just running here or there and taking care of very important things.
Yeah.
But just a couple minutes sometimes really does make a great difference. Whether you're with a plant at your office. Or, being able to go outside and walk in a park, or, put your feet on the grass, even if it is in a park in a city or something like that. I mean, we try to bring nature inside by creating earthing mats and, all this stuff that creates nature inside, but it can never really match kind of the power of Mother Nature.
That's
so
true.
Yeah.
Well, I do have another book. Go ahead, Kathy.
Go ahead. No, I was going to
say,
I definitely encourage everybody to take a look at Debbie's books, and great segue, you have another one coming.
Yes, I do. I'm almost finished with it. This one is 31 Excursions, taking the reader on 31 excursions into nature. And my hope is that they can see what I'm seeing through my eyes on that excursion and then ask their own questions about it and internalize nature's message. So it's more of a very personal journey for the reader. They're much more involved in this third book than in my other ones. So that's all I'm
going to
say.
So these aren't places, these aren't physical places per se, but excursions kind of with the mind, or could you explain it just a little bit more?
Excursions actually into nature, going to sit beside the stream and then asking questions, what I see there, but asking different questions while I'm there, picking up on messages that the reader can say, oh, yeah, I would ask that too, or that's me,
right.
Or I can relate that to something that I experienced last year with a certain person or whatever, making those connections with nature, but on a personal level, in their own experience, their own experience, self-experience.
Perfect. Well, we will look forward to
that
one, and as soon as that one is out and about, or as soon as you want to let people know about that, we'll do another show. In the meantime, Debbie, thanks so much. I thoroughly enjoyed
this.
And in fact, I didn't get to read everyone every time, and I'm like, I'm gonna definitely take these and read word for word now and go through all of it because I think they're fabulous. So thanks, Debbie. Awesome.
You're welcome, and enjoy, Kathy.
Okay.
It's been wonderful.
Okay.
Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye.